Chapter 6. Antonio goes to trial. In Venice, Antonio arrived at the court. He stood bravely, ready to pay his bond for the loan that was forfeit. Bassanio and Gratiano stood sadly with him. The Duke of Venice then entered the court with a large company of people.
"Is Antonio here?" asked the Duke.
"Here and ready, so please your grace," answered the unfortunate merchant.
"I am sorry for you, Antonio. You have come to answer to a man who has no pity."
"I have heard how your grace took great pains to seek my pardon, but since Shylock stands unmoved, I see there is nothing under the law to save me. I come with a quiet spirit to suffer his revenge."
"Call the Jew to the court," ordered the Duke.
Shylock then happily entered to stand before the Duke.
"Shylock," said the Duke, "I and the world believe that your demand of this bond, until this last moment, has been just for show. You have made your point. We all now expect you will now grant mercy, give up the bond, and refuse to take a pound of flesh from this poor merchant. Not only that, some expect you to show even more gentleness and love. They, including myself, believe you will forgive the money lost altogether. Consider Antonio's loss of all his wealth by the sinking of his ships. We all expect a gentle answer, Jew." However, Shylock stood firm. He replied to the Duke,
"You know my purpose, your grace. I have sworn to have my due. If you deny it, there will be trouble for you and this city. Consider how the law would be bent and broken. I hold to the bond. I will not give a reason for my claim, but I will hold to it."
Bassanio could not help but cry out,
"You unfeeling man! This is excess cruelty all for hate."
"I am not bound to please you with my answer," replied Shylock coldly.
But Bassanio could not contain himself in front of Shylock. He had to ask,
"Do all men kill the things they do not love?"
"Does any man hate the thing he would not kill?" shot back Shylock. "Would you have a snake bite you twice?"
Antonio put a stop to the arguing. "You might as well stand on the beach and tell the sea not to rise," he told his friend Bassanio. "You may as well forbid the trees on a mountain to move and make noise in the passing wind. You may as well do anything else, which is impossible, as seek to soften his Jewish heart. Therefore, I ask you to argue no more. Let us stop wasting time. Let me have my judgment and the Jew his will." Bassanio would not stop, however. To Shylock, he held out a bag of money.
"Instead of your 3,000 ducats, I have here 6,000 to give you."
Shylock made no move to take the money. Instead, he told Bassanio,
"If every one of those ducats were in 6 parts, and every part a ducat, I would not take them. I would have my bond. The pound of flesh which I demand of Antonio is dearly bought. It is mine, and I will have it."
Turning to the Duke, Shylock said,
"If you deny me, shame on your law, your grace. There is then no force in the laws of Venice. I stand for judgment. Will I have it?"
The Duke did not reply to Shylock with anger. Instead, he said calmly,
"I have asked for a very learned man to come and judge the case. His name is Bellario. If he does not arrive today, I have to dismiss this court."
At that moment, Salerio arrived to say,
"A messenger has come, my lord. He has letters from the doctor in Padua."
"Bring us the letters. Call the messenger," ordered the Duke, motioning for the messenger to be brought in.
A young man was then brought into the court. He was the messenger from Padua. In reality, it was Nerissa dressed as a man, but no one in the court recognized her. Nerissa gave a letter to the Duke. After reading it, the Duke told the court,
"This letter from Bellario says that he has sent a young and learned doctor to our court. Where is he?"
"He is waiting, your grace," answered Nerissa. "He wants to know if you will admit him to the court."
"With all my heart," answered the Duke. "Bring him in. While you get him, I will read this letter to the court.
The Duke then read,
Your Grace must understand that when your letter came to me, I was very sick. However, a young doctor from Rome was visiting me. His name is Balthazar. I told him about the case between the Jew and Antonio the merchant. We turned over many books together. He knows my opinion and has made it better with his own learning, which I cannot praise highly enough. Therefore, I have sent him to your grace to fill in where I cannot go. Do not let his young age give you any doubt about his learning or skills. I never knew so young a body with so old a head. I send him for you to accept at the trial. There you will see for yourself why I have recommended him to you.
You have heard what the learned Bellario writes, said the Duke to the court. And here, I take it, is the doctor. Have you come from Bellario?
The messenger now stood in the court with another young man beside him. The new man in the court was none other than Portia, dressed as a man.
I did come from Bellario, Your Grace. I came directly to help judge this trial, said Portia to the Duke.
You are welcome, the Duke said. Are you familiar with the question that we must answer here today?
I am thoroughly informed of the case. Which is the merchant here and which the Jew?
Antonio and old Shylock, come forward, ordered the Duke.
When the two men stood before Portia, she asked each man his name. Then, turning to Antonio, she asked,
Do you confess the bond?
I do, was Antonio's brief but firm reply. Portia simply said,
Then the Jew must show mercy.
In shocked surprise, Shylock demanded,
Why must I? Tell me that!
Turning to Shylock, Portia explained, The quality of mercy is not strained. It drops as the gentle rain from heaven on the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesses him that gives and him that takes. It is mightiest in the mightiest. It suits a king better than his crown. It is an attribute of God himself. Powers on earth can show mercy like God when they are merciful in judgment. I say all of this to soften the strict justice of the court. By law, the court should rule against the merchant here. Shylock was not moved by the wise words of the young doctor. He simply said,
I want the law, the penalty, and the due from my bond.
Then Bassanio stepped forward again.
Here, I have it for him in the court. Yes, it's twice the amount. If that is not enough, I will pay three times the amount. On top of that, take my hands, my head, my heart. Is it still not enough?
Then I beg that this court does a great right by doing a little wrong and not following the law. Do not let this cruel devil have his way. Portia stopped Bassanio with a raised hand.
It must not be. There is no power in Venice that can bend or break the law. If done once, then it must be bent and broken every time. There will be no end of problems set by such an example. It cannot be.
These words pleased Shylock greatly.
A Daniel has come to the court, he cried in delight. Oh, wise young judge, how I honor you!
May I see the bond? Portia asked to Shylock.
Here it is, most honored doctor, here it is, said Shylock, handing over the contract.
Before reading it, Portia reminded him, Shylock, you have been offered three times the amount of the loan.
I made a promise to God to have the bond. Should I risk my soul? No, not for Venice.
It took only a brief time for the young doctor to read through the contract. Then, looking at all around her, she said, The loan was not paid on time. It is forfeit. The bond is due. By law, the Jew may claim a pound of flesh to be cut from the merchant's body near the heart. But turning to Shylock, she added,
Have mercy. Take three times the amount you loaned. Let me tear up this contract.
Shylock stood firm.
The bond must be paid. You seem a worthy judge. You know the law. You speak with great knowledge and give sound advice. But I demand that you follow the law and proceed to judgment. There is no power of speech that can change my mind. I demand my bond.
Antonio then spoke up. I beg the court to give the judgment.
Very well, said Portia. Looking toward Antonio, she ordered, You must prepare your breast to feel his knife.